Spotting 78.
Monday, June 27th, 2011.
I never properly introduced myself. Finn MacMissile, British Intelligence.
Tom Mady, Average Intelligence.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
And we're lucky to be able to talk about a new release this week.
And that's absolutely true, but that's also because we didn't have to rely on my mother, Grandma, to watch the kids while we snuck out to a movie, because this is a movie our kids wanted to see. Yes, it is Cars 2. It is a Pixar film. It is the sequel to the 2006 film Cars. And, you know, the original Cars didn't get much love. I thought it was pretty good. Our kids still put it on. It's a fun ride. But here we rejoin sort of the cast of characters further along in their successful racing career, at least Lightning McQueen. And I gotta ask you, is Cars 2 still a worthwhile ride?
It is worthwhile. I enjoyed it as a spy movie, and I definitely enjoyed it more than the original. I think there were a lot of things about this movie that could have been better and could have evolved a little bit from the first movie, but overall I thought the action was great and the animation was top-notch.
Well, you go back to the original Cars, it's a heartwarming tale of a self-centered racer, Lightning McQueen, voiced by Owen Wilson, who learns to think about other people and appreciate other people before he goes back to being a successful racer. This film picks up where he's still a successful racer but still in touch with his new friends out there in Radiator Springs. You've got sort of the same cast of characters, but they're definitely more in the background, and here Cars 2 focuses primarily on Lightning McQueen, but even more on his dopey sidekick, the tow truck, Toll Mater,
Mater,
voiced by Larry the Cable Guy. Now, here in Cars 2, I think they were really wise to not focus entirely on Lightning McQueen, but I would say enjoyment of Cars 2 does require you to have an appreciation for Larry the Cable Guy.
Mater is a very broadly drawn character, and he's not a character that, like a typical Disney character, learns a lesson and grows from it and moves on, and we never really feel, or at least I never really felt like Mater learned anything by the end of this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it does focus around his character, but as you said, he's broadly drawn. I mean, basically it's redneck humor. He's Jeff Foxworthy, but perhaps a little cleaner. And I have to admit, it grated on me a little. In fact, the places where Mater, or Larry the Cable Guy, in this film was supposed to be his funniest, supposed to be basically his dumbest, was the least interesting to me. It was when they did take a break from the usual redneck jokes and did some other things with him that he was much more interesting. That said, I would agree that Cars 2 is a much more briskly paced film than Cars, and in that way, I think that even our kids kind of followed it even more and enjoyed it even more.
I believe so, because there was quite a lot of action and there's a lot of travel in this movie, because the premise of the film is that Lightning McQueen is invited to participate in a multinational race, and the crew and Lightning McQueen all travel to Japan and to Europe to compete in this thing called the World Grand Prix.
Right. I mean, basically, this film gets to go well beyond the small town that we were largely confined to in the first film and travel the world. You get to Tokyo, you get to London, and you get to the Italian Riviera, and it's an opportunity for the Pixar artists to show their appreciation and knowledge of and savvy in depicting all of these vast locations. We saw the film in 3D, which is actually usually not our first choice, but it was still visually stunning and an opportunity, again, to broaden the palette that they get to play with and thus show us more, I guess, more of their animation talent. And I have to admit, the animation is much more stunning here. We'll probably talk about a bit more about that. But the secondary plot of the story is there are new characters introduced. There's the MI6, and you've got the spy plot in which Tow Mater, the hapless tow truck, is mistaken as a really, really savvy spy who just makes you think that he's an idiot.
That whole plot, the whole subplot about the spy, and there's another thing about the fuel that they're using during the races, and there's, you know, it all comes together, but it's very dense and there's a lot of different layers to that whole plot, and it's not anything I think that kids can really pick up on, but I appreciated it, and I also enjoyed the new characters. The characters to me that really seemed superfluous and not really necessary in this movie were the ones from the last movie, the minor characters like Flo and Fillmore. They were just there and they didn't really contribute anything to the plot, so I really felt like this movie had tons and tons of characters, and it really seemed like they didn't need that many characters.
Well, you know, I will agree when you say that it seems like they didn't need that many characters. In fact, I'll agree that there was a lot going on in this film, perhaps more than needed to happen in this film. It took me a while to get into this film, and actually that was what surprised me as far as it being a Pixar film, because usually they can drop you into the action and they give you enough as you go along to get into and understand what's happening. Here they seem to take the time to not only introduce what we will see in this film, but also even trying to wrap up what we saw in the previous film as well.
They address the absence of Doc Hudson, voiced by Paul Newman. Died a while back. And they explain that Doc Hudson is no longer with us, but George Carlin is no longer with us either. He's the voice of Fillmore, and they don't attempt to explain what happened to George Carlin. They just try to replace him. And it was very distracting to me. All I kept thinking about through the whole movie is George Carlin was Fillmore, and he could have done it better.
Right. Well, so that was probably distracting for you. I mean, I'm not as sensitive to celebrity voices, perhaps, but certainly, again, there was more explaining than I think they needed. But yes, there are new characters introduced, and fortunately, I think they're compelling enough because, again, if you aren't particularly a big fan of either Owen Wilson or Larry the Cable Guy, it would have been a bit much. So here, perhaps some of the original crew are pushed to the background, and we get to meet a new set of international characters.
Michael Caine voices Finn McMissile. Mm-hmm. He's a British super spy like James Bond. And I believe he's an Aston Martin, but I'm not 100% sure about that. And Michael Caine is just one of those actors. I mean, he's been in everything. And I really enjoyed him because he's got such a great and distinctive voice that he really made he was a spy. You know, you just could hear it. And his sidekick is played by Emily Mortimer, who's been in several movies. But I enjoyed her voice as well. Lightning McQueen's main rival is his name is Francesco Bernoulli, and he's a race car. He's a Formula One car, and he's very egotistical, and he's voiced by one of my favorite actors, John Turturro.
Yeah, John Turturro. I mean, I didn't connect the voice to him until we saw the credits, but we just saw Barton Fink on Netflix streaming.
Yeah.
He was also in a couple of other films that
Quiz
we like quite
Show,
a bit. Yeah,
which is a movie I really like.
But I agree, you know, Michael Caine adds a bit of class to anything you watch, even if it is a cartoon, so great voice acting there. But when you said, you know, you're not sure if he's an Aston Martin, I don't know either, and that's kind of how I think we're going to get into trouble reviewing this movie, because there is some car trivia involved. In fact, the reason why the bad guys are motivated for doing what they're doing is in part because they are the lemons of the world. You had the Pacer and the Gremlin.
And the Hugo.
Right, the Hugo. And they even talk about how they're hard to get parts for it. In fact, you know, the way that Toe Mater demonstrates that he does possess some knowledge that turns out to be relevant is he understands how it's hard. They weren't, you know, metric versus English measurements on screws,
yeah,
and nuts and bolts and a specific bolt. So there is some stuff for car nuts.
There's also a lot of clever movie references, like when all the bad guys are meeting in that big conference room, you very, very prominently see a big bowl of lemons.
Because they're lemons?
Yeah, that's a Godfather reference.
Oh,
there's
right.
Oranges all through Godfather, including a scene where the heads of the five families are all together and there's a big bowl of oranges.
Right, right. You know, I didn't even pick up on that. I mean, certainly it wouldn't be a spy or, you know, sort of a mob family movie without making a lot of those, and I certainly picked up on that. So that was really enjoyable. Now, the race is sort of enjoyable. It's what drives the story. It's what takes us to all of these different places. But you mentioned briefly the alternative fuel plot and you know, big oil and oil rigs and electric cars and all of that. I thought that was, you know, that's very Pixar that they go all the way there. It's very much like Wall-E and
right.
its commentary on the consumerist society. But it was definitely a little ham-fisted here.
It was not subtle at all, and I totally approve of them going there. But I would have liked it just a little less obvious.
Right, right. But still, we enjoyed visiting the various cities. They spent more, it seems like they spent a lot of time in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable. I mean, I've been to Japan, so they pick on pretty much all of the cultural things that you would notice, whether it's what's, you know, what wasabi is to the really fancy toilets. And
yeah.
on the other hand, it was sort of, you know, it kind of gets to the stereotypes of those places. And they, fortunately, they did not do that in the other cities. It was more about the scenery and not so much about the culture. Was there a high point in terms of the depictions of their world travels that you enjoyed?
I thought London was more beautifully drawn than the other two places. Mm. I thought the London rendering was so gorgeous that, I don't know, to me, it looked like photographs. I thought that was the most beautifully drawn and accurate. Not that I've ever been to London, but right. It was the most accurate, in my mind, depiction of a place.
Yeah, again, so if you're not into cars, if you're not into Lightning McQueen, Owen Wilson, Larry the Cable Guy, this is still worth seeing because it is Pixar doing what they do best, which is really photorealistic renderings of 3D environments. In fact, if there's anything that this film also is clearly trying to do, it's to demonstrate how far the technology has gone right. since Cars 1. Now, one of the reasons why Cars 1 wasn't really compelling is because these are animated vehicles. How interesting is that? What kind of characters can you get out of that? In this film, again, you've got cars, but they did a couple of things. First, they are now other vehicles that play a part. You've got an airplane, you've got submarines, you've got
boats.
You know, boats, and the other part of it is that they are much more flexible. You know, these cars are now doing fancy handshakes and twisting and wiggling in ways that they definitely could not do in the original film. And so that, you know, from a computer nerd point of view, was very interesting. They one thing that is really prominent in the second film, though, that does not exist almost at all in the original film, is it is a little more violent. I mean,
quite a bit more
violent. Lot of gunplay. There's a lot of car-on-car violence. They're smushing each other and hitting each other and crashing into each other. And that, I thought, was a little unexpected for me.
It was. And that's, I might have hesitated bringing our youngest to this movie if I had known. That is something that came completely unexpected to me.
And it is daring in a way because there are consequences to their actions. I mean, cars are hurt, and that's mm-hmm. something that, you know, you might not expect from a cartoon or an animated film. And it's generally, there are darker moments in this film, but in a way I see it as an evolution of Pixar, that their films overall have been, you know, a little more adult as well as being for kids. And if anything, I would prefer a animation house challenge a child rather than necessarily spoon-feeding them light and fluffy
yeah.
stuff. On the other hand, you know, I think you could probably challenge a kid without necessarily doing it with machine guns, for example.
There was also kind of a lot of potty humor.
Really?
In this installment. Like, Mater falls into the truck that cleans out the airplanes. And,
well, yeah, that's in the trailer.
You know, there's a sequence that takes place in the bathroom.
Well, yeah, I can see that. I mean, you know, I usually measure how interested I will be in a film when I see the trailer and how many times an animal farts.
Yeah.
So I'm always worried and sensitive to that here. I'm not sure if I really saw that in this film. And in fact, the only body fluid, and we're talking about cars, so it's not gross, but the only fluid element of the story that's introduced early on turns out to be a pivotal clue that
yeah.
I thought actually was really well done. The final reveal as to who the bad guy is in this film was done in kind of a gotcha way. It might be a little obvious to some people, but the way that it was done and the way that it was explained, I thought was pretty clever.
Yeah, it was pretty clever. I agree with that.
Now, this is a Pixar film, so before we wrap it up and give our score, we should mention that, like all Pixar films, it came with a short, a unrelated opening, you know, brief animated feature that in many cases are sometimes our favorite part of these Pixar
oh, yeah.
films. Now, this one was called Hawaiian Vacation. Very relevant to us. What did you think about the short?
Well, it was a Toy Story short.
Right, right.
Which I thought was strange because I really felt like they wrapped up the Toy Story story with Toy Story 3. And I really love their original shorts. So I don't know why they felt like they had to go back to Toy Story.
You know what? I'm going to have to agree with you there. I was kind of disappointed in the short. It is Hawaiian Vacation. And as a guy in Hawaii, we got to be, I guess, pretty proud of having that tie or feature to a large motion picture. But these are characters that we know and already understand, and I feel, like you said, that their story has been told. And in fact, as we watch the rest of Cars 2, and especially the Japan segment, where it's almost a kind of a running through of the stereotypes and jokes about Japan,
uh-huh.
well, unfortunately, the Hawaiian Vacation is exactly what you would expect
exactly,
from any yeah. other sitcom talking about Hawaii. The funny hats, the hula skirts, the weird language jokes, and I guess if you live on the mainland, that still gets you a lot of mileage. But trust me, when you've lived in Hawaii your whole life and you've seen Hawaii depicted on screen with every cheesy tiki, you know, umbrella drink in the world, it gets old pretty quick.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Not the best Pixar short we've seen, and probably clearly not the best Pixar film we've seen, but it sounds like we're saying Cars 2 was still a fun ride.
It was enjoyable for a sequel.
Agreed. So what's your score for Cars 2?
3
from me as well. So that's a total of 6. That's the pop spotting score for Cars 2 in theaters everywhere. And before we let you go, I wanted to let you know about another great movie podcast. The Film List is hosted by our friend Heath Solo.
Hi, Heath.
It's a podcast devoted to the world of film and TV. It's live and uncut, and the podcast focuses on top 10 lists in the world of film and TV. In fact, they just wrapped up a season of The Film List with Kill Bill, and it was a great conversation, but they're going to start up again next month. And just like our show here at Pop Spotting, they rely a great deal on your participation, and if you have a top 10 list for a movie or television, you can send it in to them.
You can email them at thefilmlist@gmail.com.
That's right, and you can look for The Film List podcast in iTunes, and again, that's by Heath Solo or at Heath Actor on Twitter. And we appreciate The Film List for their support of Pop Spotting.
We'd love your feedback on movies or any other topic we cover here on Pop Spotting. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. Drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net or leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
And we'd love it if you'd connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting, or you can follow us on Twitter. We love the Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
We'll be back soon with some TV talk. We'd like to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and we'd like to thank you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jen. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah.